There we go. Do you remember this, Judith? Do you remember this tune? I'd almost forgotten it. It's been months.
It seems ages.
It seems like years. It seems like last year. It seems like we haven't done a podcast since last year. And we haven't because this is... Oh, well, it's January and it's 2022. I quite like even numbers, Judith.
Do you? Do you like
the even ones
better than the odd ones?
I think I do.
Interesting.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed for this year, Judith. I'm keeping them very tight. Well, if I could cross my fingers, of course I would. But on the left, we'll talk about that later. Let's get New Year and the Christmas news over and done with. I mean, I can barely remember Christmas now.
Do you know, it fades. Doesn't it fade?
It's just, especially when it's a quiet one. Doesn't it go into a quiet blur? I mean, it was all right because, I mean, there were no tears, no tantrums because there was nobody to tear and tantrum with. I mean, who did you have?
Well, Christmas Day, a bit like you, was very, very quiet. It was just Sienna and us.
Yeah, but Sienna's sort of heavily with child now. So, can you feel a sort of fetal presence?
Ooh, well, it was. I mean, that was very exciting because there was quite a lot of Mike and I trying to feel for kicks, and I did. I felt a couple, but you have to be very, very patient. It's kind of, you know, you do have to wait. But it's that was very, very exciting. But it didn't, you know, it didn't feel like Christmas. It just felt like a lovely day with Sienna and making a sort of fuss of her. But it didn't really feel.
Is she huge?
Well, she's got. I swear every time I see her, she looks like she's put on like a kind of bag of sugar. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's usually for pregnant women. I think it's at this stage, it's a pound a week. But she's carrying twins, so it might be £2.
Well, she does look now as if she's kind of full term with kind of one baby.
Yeah, yeah.
But she still can't. I mean, I can't believe it. I keep kind of thinking, really? She's got, I think, 10 weeks in theory still to go. So
she's doing very well, though, Judith.
She's doing well.
I'm touching wood and I'm sort of...
Yeah, me too.
You know,
me too.
And
me too.
After this podcast, I'm going to send Daisy an email, which she's going to keep secret, with my list of names. I might do about six.
I think
these boys might be called. There's two names that keep leaping out at me.
Interesting.
Whenever I think of Sienna's twins, I think of these two names.
Oh my
goodness.
So I'll
put those at the top.
I'm interested to know what they are. But
I'm not going to let you know.
All right. Okay.
Let's see if I'm right. I don't think I'll be right because I'm, you know, young people, they have their own ideas.
Don't they? Are they allowed?
The young people.
Well, we did a similar thing on Boxing Day. We had all the family, apart from one, obviously, proved negative on the old lateral flow.
Hold on, but why didn't you let them come if they were negative?
Who was it? James's brother.
Well, my brother and my niece were in isolation over Christmas. Fortunately, both with very mild cases. I think, you know, that's the sort of fingers crossed Omicron. I've got to stop saying fingers crossed, but that's all I can think of when I think about this new year. I'm a touch wooder. Every time I'm a tree hugging, touch wooding, fingers crossing. Oh, God in
heaven. We're just witches, really, aren't we? Just witches.
Yeah, I'm saluting fucking magpies left, right and centre, you know.
Yeah,
anyway, go on. You're on Boxing Day. You've got all the family.
We did a similar thing. My idea, actually. Is we all wrote it on a piece of paper and we sealed it up in envelopes where we guessed the names, not that we wanted, but that we thought they'd be, and also their birthday. So we did a similar thing, actually.
Did they open them or are they keeping them in a closed box?
They're in a closed box, but I do know that several people put Luke or Lucas. Or Luca.
Yeah, Luca's nice. I like Lucas
isn't it?
And Luke.
Because Sienna, there's a symmetry. Yeah. Sienna, yes. Luca, etc. Yeah.
Have you been to Luca?
I have been to Luca. Oh. It's the most gorgeous place, isn't it?
Isn't it? And the shopping.
Shoes
and stationery. I mean, it's a very long time ago. We went... We have some friends who had some money back then, because this would have been 1990. Phoebe was still a baby, and they hired this Tuscan villa, which, well, you know when you watch films sometimes set in a Tuscan villa, and they've usually got that Scottish actress in it. You know, what's her name that's very androgynous? I keep wanting to call her Tilda Swinton, that's it.
Oh,
and people drift around wearing straw hats and white. Well, it was like that. It was the most extraordinary Tuscan villa with a pool and a private chapel and all this sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. And it was near Lucca.
And cypress trees. There's always cypress trees.
Oh, yes.
That's how you know.
Down the drive, a long fucking drive.
Oh, yes. I mean, it was. I know where you were. I absolutely know where you were.
It was magnificent. And I bought some beads and a pair of shoes from Lucca. It's funny what.
I still remember what you bought.
Yeah, I know.
Funny. And interestingly, we went to look at an old boyfriend called David Kitson. I had a kind of a bit of a kind of fluke, really, with David Kitson. Very atypical in terms of my boyfriends. Looked like John Lennon, was very kind of enigmatic, terribly lazy, chain smoker. But a great laugh. Anyway, we took. It was all flashing back to me. Now. Do you remember Nationwide and Frank Boff?
Yes.
Frank and Nesta Boff in the 80s. Because I think he fell from favour. I can't remember what he did.
Who did he took cocaine with Core Girls?
Oh, that's right. That's right. No wonder he was interesting. Anyway, so they had a book which was touring Tuscany. And we followed in the Frank and Nesta Boff trail. And all the hotels were really, really good. And Luca was on that. I don't think we'd have bothered to go, but I remember Luca being outstandingly stylish.
It was a place of outstanding beauty, but you've got to watch what time you go because they have a very long siesta.
I always think,
go about 2 o'clock. And then as you are arriving, all the shutters are coming down
and
the shops.
Yeah, that's right.
I know, you have to wait till 5:30 or whatever. Absolutely ridiculous.
I think I bought macaroons. I think I might have been in the same stationery shop. And what was the other thing that you said? Shoes.
Shoes and beads. I bought some.
Beads I didn't get to. I didn't get to that shop. And now I instantly want to go. I really want to go.
Yeah. Oh, God. Travel. I am so desperate.
Anyway.
Do you remember just being able to fuck off and go somewhere? But there we go.
An EasyJet flight. Oh, well, we digress.
We're just hand baggage because you didn't need anything else. What more do you need? And you can buy it when you get there.
So a quiet
Christmas for us. Phoebe stayed Christmas Eve and then she went to Tristram's parents on Christmas Day. But we did get to see a bit of her. Yeah. And then, you know, we saw a bit, you know, dribs and drabs of family until Ben and Daisy were out of isolation. And then we had a big get together and lunch, you know, a lateral flow then lunch kind of day with the family. No, Sarah's. Remember, I can't really. I'm still not cooking. Do you do that?
No, I'm not surprised.
Well, we'll talk about that later. But you know, I will be milking the non-cooking left hand for quite a long time. There's not a utensil I can lift apart from a knife and fork to my own mouth and a glass of wine.
Are you allowed to lift the kettle yet? I know you had quite a long time.
It's meant to be six weeks. Not quite 3 weeks yet, but I'm lifting kettles, don't you worry. I'm lifting kettlebells. No, not. I mean, not full. I mean, I'm on half a kettle now.
Clever.
I'm on half a kettle. I'm being very careful.
You found a way around it.
Yeah. Did you have a best present?
My best present actually was, because as you know, I am an enthusiastic spot picker and scab breaker. Ooh, breaker, isn't that pleasant image?
Scab breaker.
So I actually asked for it, one of those machines, and I saw one in your bathroom. This is what started it ages ago, which is a liquid dental flosser, because I do have a problem with, you know, debris between the teeth. Which I think is a feature of getting older. So I've got one of those machines.
A pick. They're called a pick. It's a dental pick.
Oh, they're called a pick, aren't they?
Yeah.
A liquid pick. And you squirt the stuff.
A jet of water. It's like carturing your teeth. Oh.
That's exactly what it's like. The only thing which is pleasing, diverting, it's quite a nice little, you know, 10 minutes of a morning.
It's time consuming, Judith. I'm wondering how long you're going to be keeping this up for, because I have to say that mine is about 3 inches covered in dust. It's been a long time. Oh, dear. I mean, I've got so much maintenance to get back into. But, you know, physical and mental maintenance. I've got weeks worth of work to do on myself at the moment. I really
do. What sort? What do you mean?
Well, you know, I'm not fit. And I think I mean, my dental plaque is out of control. you just reminded me, actually, I've got to try and find the charger for that bloody dental pick. Yes, and if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start doing that. And I'm going to sit on the edge of the bath for 10 minutes a day. I mean, it's a gruesome thing.
Oh, is that what you do it? Is that what you do? Because it doesn't half make a mess.
Oh, it doesn't half make a mess. Yeah. You need a towel to catch all the sort of, you know, all the spittle and maybe the odd bit of blood now and again if you get really... Anyway, there we go. It was a quiet Christmas. We had a nice family lunch at Sarah's. She did a shoulder of lamb, and it was very, very good.
Slow cooked.
Well, I didn't inquire about the cooking. I think it was in a slow cooking pot, actually. Would you do that?
Well, yes, of course I would. I'd go for a large roasting bag myself for a bit of slow lamb. Very nice. Sell them at Waitrose. They're very, you know, they just keep in your moisture. Slow cooking. But, you know, I've told you about slow cookers before.
I haven't got the fucking room for a slow cooker.
I don't care.
Only one place I could put a slow... I can't lift a slow cooker. I'll never get the strength back in my hand to lift a slow cooker.
You'll
that is my aim in life. And there's only one room at the moment that's got some space in, and that's that top bedroom that we had done up.
Oh, is it finished?
It used to belong to Phoebe's. Yes, it is.
Oh, I mean, it's still very
bare because all her crap is still in storage.
Yeah.
And it's that thing where it's this terrible secret storage, isn't it? Putting things into storage.
Oh, well, I know what you're like. You've got a lock-up, haven't you, the two of you somewhere?
We've got a lock-up in Camberwell, which is full of old shit from the house we moved out of 15 years ago. And now there's extra storage, which has got Phoebe's bedroom stuff in.
Oh, right? It's extra storage? Oh, you haven't taken another one, have you?
You've taken a storage unit. No, only a unit. Only a sort of... It's all her old school books.
Yeah.
And a table and, you know... I think the bits and bobs of furniture that were knackered have been thrown away. But that was our Christmas present to us, that we had the top room done, and I bought Jeff this beautiful sort of, I think 60s or 50s mirror, sort of funny odd mirror that lights up. It's beautiful.
Ooh.
And he bought me we had an old chair recovered in pink corduroy from the Designers Guild, so that those were our main presents to each other. Very nice indeed. So I mean it was Christmas was nice, but it wasn't, as you said, it was like a nice day, but it wasn't special. Yeah.
Didn't really feel.
Have you had tree down? Have you got rid of everything?
I do that very early on. We've come to Cornwall, so it was a good excuse. But I like that. That's my favourite bit. I like the bit
clearing the decks.
I'm such a killjoy. I like the bit between Christmas and New Year, where, you know, it's a bit like being in that first lockdown where you haven't got too many, you know, sort of appointments. You know what I mean? I like that. You get, you know, all your lists out and sort of clear the decks.
And watching a film in the afternoon. You don't feel guilty watching a film in the afternoon because you're kind of meant to.
Yeah. Exactly. It's quite, you know, I've always loved that bit sort of between the two things.
The perineum, as Phoebe and her friends call it. The perineum between Christmas and New Year. Yeah,
I like that. And I love getting the tree down. And I love my favourite thing of the whole festive season.
Let me guess, is it burning the tree? Is it chopping the tree up and burning it?
Oh, I do like
that.
Because
I know what you like with fire.
Yeah, I do like that. But you have to wait a bit for it to
really dry out.
You know what I mean? You can't do it straight away. I like that, but I love, my favourite thing is you take all the Christmas cards down. I don't really like them that much. Although I did like your squirrel. I liked your squirrel.
I did a lino cut before I went into, well, before I did my arm in, because I've tried to do a bit of lino since, and it's no good with a useless left arm.
Oh, God.
But it'll come back in the end.
I did a festive squirrel.
I did a lino cut of a festive squirrel, and I was so thrilled with it, Judith. I really was.
You should be. They were really lovely. So I like getting all those down. And then what I do is Mike reads them all. Because I don't really read them when they're coming in. You know, you're too busy. You think, oh, who are they? I don't know. Oh, I'm such a killjoy, aren't I? So we both read them. And then I did this the other day. I tear off the ones that have got a good back that will make a nice
best
to-do list. I tear them off and then there's a lovely big pile which usually lasts me well into February, actually.
Oh, God. Right. And you've got a new stationery book and I've got a new file of facts. So we're sort of all set, aren't we?
We're all set.
For 2022. And I am going to get... Yes, I'm seeing the physio now. So my... I'll just briefly go over my operation, Judith.
Because we're all wondering how it went.
I went under the knife on the 17th of December, and I paid for the operation because the NHS is really, well, as we all know, the NHS is struggling manfully at the moment, and I was not a, definitely not a life and death case. I was just in an extreme, pain, and I just thought, I can't.
I mean, anyway,
I was in a bad way.
You really were in a bad way.
And so I, the one thing went, so it was early in the morning. It was about, I think I went down at about 9 o'clock for the operation.
Oh, down to theatre.
Down to theatre, yes. God. You know, in my gown with my arse hanging out the back.
How many times did you go for a poo before they came for you?
I don't think I had time because I don't think, you see, that was the, well, do you not remember the last time we were on air? I was talking about my fecal impaction. Do you remember last episode was...
How could we forget?
The festive fecal impaction episode where I'd taken so many painkillers with, I think they were sort of opioid kind of painkillers, which bung you up.
Yeah.
And I had to remove my own faeces with a rubber-gloved hand.
I don't think you actually went into that detail.
Well, I don't know whether I did.
Now
but
you
I
have.
I think I gave plenty of heavy clues as to what went on in my bathroom when I was shouting to Jeff, don't come in! So anyway, I was still quite, you know, I was not my normal regular bowel self when I went in for the op.
I see what you mean.
And I certainly wasn't afterwards. So they gave me a lot of laxatives, and some of them came in a syringe. I got a goodie bag to take home of dressings and medications, and
nice.
it was huge. It was almost a bin liner full of meds. And there was this sort of syringe with a thick, gloopy liquid in it.
And
I said, what's that? And he said, the nurse said, it's a liquid laxative, but it's quite, you know, heavy duty.
God.
I said, well, do I put it on my bum?
Oh, you didn't ask that.
Yes, I did. I wasn't sure what to do with it. He said, no, it's oral. It's oral.
Oh, it was oral.
I
put it on my bum.
Well, so did I. But you know, Judith, I think it was like sort of the consistency of honey. So I think I'd have got into a bit of a mess with that. But anyway, what I do remember about the operation, and I have no idea how they administered the general anaesthetic. I don't know whether they put a mask over my face or whether it was an injection. I cannot remember. I think it might have been a mask, though, because I remember saying to the anaesthetist, who was a really nice bloke,
nice, aren't they?
Aren't they? Anaesthetists. Lovely. I've always fancied them.
Sorry.
Oh, no, he looked like Professor Brainstorm, but he was really nice. And before I went down, he said, oh, I see on your notes you have dry eye syndrome, so let me just pop some drops in. And he used the really good quality stuff that I have sometimes. I just thought, I'm in safe hands here.
I bet you would have done.
I'm doing. He wasn't using sort of an own brand, you know, full of chemicals, shitty one from out of his pocket, you know. And I just thought, oh, nice man. But then I had this panic, and I think I had the mask over my face. And I remember saying, and I suddenly was convinced I was going to get locked-in syndrome.
Oh,
you know, when you're awake throughout the operation, you can feel every squeak.
Oh, my God.
So I had this massive panic as I was going down, and I just kept saying, it's not working! It's not working! And then I was completely out. And I didn't dream.
You.
Sometimes people say you have fantastic dreams under general anaesthetic. Yeah. And I cannot remember a single dream.
Oh, probably just as well. Probably just as well.
But
it must have involved a lot of heavy carpentry.
Yeah. But I think that because they went in the back of the neck, I must have been rolled over.
Oh, you must have been. I thought about it.
I was wearing one of those gowns with, you know, the back's open, your bum flaps out.
Of course you were. I could have told you to have one of those on.
I wonder whether they put a piece of tarpaulin over me. I wonder whether they did.
I wondered whether you were in one. You know when you have a massage and there's a table with a hole in it.
A hole in it. I think there was. And I think actually my head was braced, put in some kind of brace.
Don't.
Because I had these two little sore spots on either side of my temples for the next few days.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, the only other interesting thing about this operation was when I came round, which was fine, and I was in sort of one of those magic beds, which is, you know, the only way I can describe it is if you've ever flown business class long haul and you get one of those brilliant sort of bed things.
Was it?
And it's got those buttons and you can come up a bit, tilt this way.
Did you pretend you were on your way to Australia? Yes, Judith.
I absolutely did. I just thought, oh, this is, might as well enjoy this. And I had oxygen. Now, They didn't take the oxygen off me for quite a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether they forgot or whether it's because I've got high blood pressure. Yeah, but anyway.
Well, hold on a minute. Slow down. Do you mean you had it for, you know, so that you could self-administer your oxygen?
It was up my nose. It was
had it up your nose. Oh, I see.
You know those
right.
sort of slightly upsetting pictures of people, you know, with wires up their nose, tubes up their nose. I was like that.
Gosh.
Breathing in fresh oxygen.
Gosh, you were probably ill, weren't you? I mean, you were a hypochondriac. This was a real thing. This was a real thing.
A general anaesthetic. And anyway, so oxygen, right?
Yeah, I've never had it before.
And when it came to bedtime, I mean, you know, I couldn't really watch the telly because there was a bit of a hoo-ha in my room because obviously the television was tuned to an Arab station.
And was it?
There wasn't anybody who could get it. It took a long time for it to be retuned to, you know. And by this time, I was talking shit quite a lot of the time. I was sort of, you know, a lot of oxygen, which weirdly sort of makes your brain incredibly clear.
Wow.
Right. So my brain was racing at 300 miles an hour.
Gosh.
So when it was getting to the evening, I was sort of trying to calm down a bit and listen to some audio books. I was listening to this audio book. And at this stage of your recovery, you know, someone has to come in every hour to take your blood pressure.
Wow.
And so this poor nurse kept coming in. I was listening to an audio book, and it wasn't a rude one. It's called The Great Circle by Maggie Shipstead, which is a great book, but it has some rude bits in it. And every time the nurse came in, it was an utter bit of filth on the audio book. So, you know, by the evening, she's got me down as some kind of weird sort of sexual pervert. And then... Well, I was watching an old version of Top of the Pops, 1979 or 78.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Right, yes. I can't remember who's presenting it, but there was a certain pop group on. It was a, you know, pop singer. And I was looking at this, and the nurse came in, and I said, see him on the telly, see him.
Yeah.
I shagged him. And combined with the filth that she'd been hearing of my audiobook... anyway, so I don't think she really approved of me. And,
I bet she went back to the nurse's station and said, "Oh my god, you've got to watch her."
Yeah, and she's talking nonsense because, of course, I'm pointing at this rather pretty boy on the television from 1979, and there's me in this sort of hospital bed looking at the wreck of the Hesperies, going, "Yeah, see him, I shagged him, yeah."
You? Were you serious?
Yeah. No, serious.
I want to know who it is now.
I can't tell you that publicly. I'll tell you later. I'll tell you off air.
Was it DLT?
Anyway, there we go. No, it wasn't. It was somebody who was singing on the Top of the Pop.
Oh, I see. Oh,
yes, not them on the freaking
Even more
DJs.
Interesting.
Yes, I know. Well, I'll tell you afterwards. Well, I've told you before, but you'll have... Now, listen, we'll get back to you now.
No. Hold on. I want to... You know the oxygen thing you were saying about?
Yes, yes.
There was a phase where...
Yes. And I can see
why. It was kind of on sale, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
And, you know, I think that should come back in because at the end, after, you know, I'd sort of really come round and I'd had quite a lot of oxygen and I was meant to be going to sleep because it was about 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
My brain had never felt clearer. I felt like my body had been thrown at a brick wall, but my brain felt like it had been sitting on top of a Swiss mountain for the entire day. I have never, ever had such clarity of thought, Judith.
I know. So why don't they sell it? Why can't... Why, you,
well, they used to. I think, didn't Michael Jackson sleep in an oxygen tent?
Oh, he did.
Yes.
That's right. And my cousin, who's a steward on British Airways, I remember having a conversation with him whereby, I think if they have a bad night, you know, they're hungover...
They have a quick blast of the oxygen.
Yeah. Well, why don't you know? God, I
know.
Well,
in fact, you know, I mean, some people will find this a bit offensive because, you know, obviously people who are ill need oxygen.
Yeah.
But, you know, recreational oxygen, if anybody knows of any supplies and whether there's any sort of... Sign us up. As long as it's legal, we're up for it. Okay.
Exactly.
But I'm not the only one who's had a sort of shoulder, neck, spine injury.
Oh, I've had I have had a bit of a something. I mean, it's not on, you know, it's not...
Not on the same scale, but, you know, you did the copycat. The copycatting came out.
In a way. say. I think I probably did, subconsciously. Yeah, I no. Well, I'm you know, obviously as a sort of committed hypochondriac, I've always got one or two things on the go. But one did sort of come to fruition, which is I was aware that, you know, underneath your shoulder of the strap of your bra.
Yes.
I mean, you won't have this problem because you're light-breasted. Yes. But the heavy-bosomed, like me. And I remember my mother had this. She had a kind of little dip where her bra straps were. Literally, it was sort of, it had kind of shaped the bone. Because if you...
What, worn a groove?
Worn a groove. Okay, that's okay. Exactly the right phrase. And it's starting to do that with me. But underneath where my bra is, and I'm doing it now, and it's still really painful, it's really, really hurts. It's kind of just like, you know when you touch a spot?
Like a tender, you know, a very sore bruise.
Exactly. So I went along to a sports physio that Mike's been to for various things, well, physio basically.
Yeah.
And he said, yes, you've got a sort of like a, it's a bit of a condition. It's a kind of bra related
injury.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've got, you know, which is not very glamorous, is it? But, you know, there you go. And he's given me, oh, God, I mean, talk about...
Did you have to take your top off and show him your bosom?
Oh, well, not Jenny. You. Oh, Jenny. He was a lovely guy. He was in his sort of late 20s. But does this happen to you? If you are in a situation where you're kind of alone... Well, I'm going to say this now, but a bit worried about myself. If you're alone with a young man...
Yes.
And... There is this sort of terror that I get.
That you might pounce.
Yes, that not that I would actually do it. I mean, no, I really wouldn't do it.
I know. It's that same fear you and I have of running someone over. The worst thing in the world that we could do in that at that moment, you know, which would...
Yes.
It's a fear thing. It's a kind of fear. And it's the same thing. It's a compulsion kind of thing where you go, what if I couldn't stop myself from doing the worst thing that could possibly happen at this moment? Like, you know, jumping off the edge of the platform or, you know, those sort of terrible things where you just think, what if I did that? What if I actually did that?
Yeah,
what if I'm about to do it now because I couldn't do this? Can you imagine if I actually turned round whilst I'm standing here in my bra and sort of be like, I don't know.
I know. And the more you think about it, the worse it gets. And I go through.
Were you
this
wearing
thing.
A good bra at the time?
Well, I was wearing my kind of averagely good, not very good bra. But you know, but it was difficult. He didn't give me a gown or anything. So I was standing there.
Yeah.
And the mirror was right there as well, because obviously they want to show you things. So I was kind of really self-aware. But it was that awful thing where I thought, I cannot look him in the eye, because if and he stood right close to me.
Yeah.
If I look him in the eye, he will think I'm going to try and kiss him, which
oh
I just
no
haven't.
God, do you know what I mean? Yes, just... I do.
It was awkward.
So good. Listen, now the other thing you sort of mentioned to me in the notes for this show is that you've had to buy silicone bra strap cushions.
Yes, I have. I'm feeling them now. They are, what do they look like? And you know, I remember my mother used to do this, because in the sort of shoulder pad era, instead of wearing them on her shoulder, she used to tuck them under her bra straps. And it's kind of a way of dissipate, you know, you sort of spread the weight.
Yeah.
So I sent off for them in the, I mean, oh God, that's the start of a, you know, a trend, isn't it? I was on one of those websites with the kind of lifestyle aids. Yeah. And they're kind of silicone, they're sort of silicone pads, and they sort of sit under your bra. I mean, God only knows if I was on the pool. Do you imagine if I was on the pool?
The things
you'd
have
really
to take
imagine.
Out.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
No, yes, oh the things I'd have to say, well, you know, I've got to do, what, and I sleep in cling film, by the way, over my eyes. So I hope you don't find that disturbing. But, well, you know, why are you talking about those silicone pads? Because she looked at my... I was wearing my Blunston boots yesterday, and she said, I'd really rather you wore trainers. And I kind of winced.
Did she now?
Yes. And she said, you need to be your... when you're walking, you need your soles to be cushioned.
Gosh.
And so I've also had to send off for some silicone-soled inputs for inside... So that's the two of us, Judith. It's either one end or the other. You know, you've got your bra silicones. I've got my feet, my what was it? They're not orthodontics. That's teeth. Orthotics,
no.
Is it?
Is
it orthotics?
Yes.
Oh, hark
no, I don't think it is.
Why isn't
know.
There a quiz on the television called Hypochondriac's Corner? And it would just be, I don't know who'd be the quiz mistress. It'd be you versus me. And it would just be questions like, What is orthodontics and how does it differ to orthotics? The other thing I noticed on the notes you sent me is that you decided no cheese over Christmas.
I made some unilateral decisions, that's what I did, because I thought, well, you know, the trouble is, it's when you get left with it all, isn't it? You know, particularly the cheese. And then I can't stop eating it. So I did. I decided no cheese. It was an unpopular decision. It was an unpopular decision, but sometimes these things are. And it worked out quite well for me.
Everyone else is going, where's the cheese?
Yeah, where's the bloody cheese? Well, there ain't any. I'm not buying any crackers, though, next. Not cheese crackers. I'm not buying any more Christmas crackers. The ones I bought this year were from Waitrose. They weren't cheap and they were completely pointless. There weren't even any jokes in them. And I'm just not doing it again.
Rather good ones, actually. But I think it was Jeff, he went mad. He always does about crackers. I don't know what his problem is. He's, you know, he has that six-year-old mentality sometimes. And but he got them from the Designers Guild. I think there was a sale just before Christmas. And the gifts inside, they were proper leather. You got sort of leather key rings and these leather sort of cable ties and luggage
cable
passes.
Ties.
Well, you know where you've got too many cables.
Well, yeah.
All sort of snaking and things, and you have a sort of cable tidy thing, and it's but it's from the Designers Guild, and they came in hot fluorescent leather colours.
So basically, Jeff bought crackers that he'd like himself.
Yeah.
Right too.
Absolutely. Quite absolutely. Niche. So we've sort of booted Christmas and New Year into touch now, haven't we?
Yeah.
So I think
Culture
we can
corner.
Universally agree that Christmas television was poor.
Oh, it was poor, wasn't it? It was
they gave
poor.
Up, Judith. I think you know there was a time, once upon a time, because Jeff used to be the art director of the TV Times. And he would bring home the Christmas TV Times,
oh, yes,
and it
yes.
was the only time
with
we were allowed
excitement.
The Radio Times in the house as well. And there would be two weighted volumes in
yes.
the house
yes.
that you would
yes.
pour over and mark up Ooh. And all that.
Absolutely. And there'd be masses that you wanted to
oh,
see, wouldn't
so
there?
Oh, so much. And
I know what
would
you
clash.
Mean.
And you'd think, oh, well, how would we decide? Because back then you couldn't watch two things at once. You couldn't record things and all that kind of stuff. And now it's like, you know, you find yourself watching a Christmas edition of The Good Life made in 1977.
Exactly. I know. It really was the worst year ever as far as I was concerned. I just couldn't. I mean, it was searched and searched and searched. And there wasn't even a kind of review of the year. I mean, I always quite like those, even if they're not a comedy one. I quite like that. Wasn't even that.
Nobody tried. Nobody tried. Although, no, we are going to set. There are caveats.
Yes.
And the caveats, well, I think we both enjoyed the Christmas Call the Midwife, even though
yes.
I can't really remember what happened. I might have been drinking at the time. But I do remember having a good weep over it.
Yes.
But I always
and
weep
yes.
over Call the Midwife.
Yes. It was good. It was good. But, and there was also a lot of 1960s knitting, home knitting.
Oh, so much knitting going on. In fact, the new series, there was the recent episode last Sunday, where I think set at Easter or something, there were Easter bonnets, and someone had a knitting, a 60s knitting frenzy of bonnets and sort of extraordinary.
Mittens.
Oh, the Christmas one was the... was the girl getting married and she
yes,
got
lovely.
She banged her eye and she had
she
the,
did,
the leeches,
right.
the Christmas leeches.
Yes, that
yeah,
was
it was
a bit
great.
Macabre, wasn't it? A bit dark, that bit.
And I also enjoyed the Pottery Throwdown, which is back.
I haven't seen any of those yet.
And the Christmas and New Year specials of Sewing Bee were joyous,
oh,
I have to
they
say.
Just,
they were,
know,
yeah, they
know,
really were.
I know.
Absolutely.
Well, because there was Rose Matafeo.
Rose was on. She's so competitive. It was really funny. They were really nice festive specials, and they
yeah,
did what they
good.
What festive specials
show.
Are meant to do. It was
yeah.
they were charming. So film wise and
wow.
other television wise, what do you recommend,
well,
Judith?
I sent you a text. I don't know whether you've seen it. Have you seen Don't Look Up, the film on?
We might do it this afternoon.
Great film, absolutely fabulous film, funny, apocryphal, and kind of knowing. It's about somebody. Spotting the fact that there's this, a meteorite heading for the Earth, and heading right for the Earth, and so big a meteorite that it's going to wipe out Earth. The whole story, because I can hear you glazing over.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, do we need any more apocryphal kind of horror?
Bear with. It's all about, basically, Leonardo DiCaprio, who's the kind of professor, and his PhD student, trying to tell the world. How do you tell the world? And they end up sort of in the Oval Office trying to tell Meryl Streep, you know, that this is happening. And it's how the world reacts to that news. How we deal with it. But I tell you what,
Have shades of the pandemic in it? Does it sort of...
A little bit, yes, it does. It does. And it has shades of all sorts of things in it. And it's a really witty film. But the character that I adored so much was Mark Rylance, who's obviously, you know, brilliant at pretty much everything he does. Plays this kind of, is it Elon Musk kind of super, yeah. You know... The
super,
the richest
super
man
rich,
in the world,
yeah.
Kind of...
Got his own space mission kind of thing going on.
Who decides to kind of, you know, get involved, basically. That character is amazing. It's really, it's a great film. You'll love it. I think you'll love it.
Great. Well, that is definitely very, very much on the list. I think we both enjoyed A Very British Scandal. Ooh, it was a story I knew well, but I didn't know the ins and outs. Oh, yeah. I'd been very aware of The Headless Man for years. I mean, it's a fascinating story. I mean, it was the first sort of, one of the first sex scandals, and, you know, amongst the aristocracy. And it was, I thought Claire Foy was great.
She was great, wasn't she? And didn't she look good in Pearls?
Well, the pearls are very good. You see, they reflect back. They're very good. They're very good on a woman.
I can't wear
She had those. A triple string. Can you not? Why?
Well, because they just make me look frumpy.
Well, this is it, yeah. I mean, she had a great big chunky triple strand on. It was a good look.
That's the way to go.
I think if you're just doing a single row, it looks a bit sort of 80s Princess Diana throwback, doesn't it? A bit slow,
yeah,
isn't it?
Don't work.
But I thought it was a very... A high quality piece of drama.
Oh, very much so. Didn't you want to be on that speedboat? You know where she goes, first of all, to the, you know, the Scottish palace or whatever that she's got her eyes on. And that there was those lovely
The castle, it was
there.
A castle, basically.
The castle, exactly. And they go on the speedboat, don't they? And there's that lovely aerial shot. They just kind of he puts his foot down and it's just that feeling of, like,
being
I've got
in a speedboat.
Bunny, I've got this bunny, and I've
well,
got
she
this
thought
style.
There was a lot of money, and the thing is, all the money was hers, really. You also watched This Is Joan Collins.
I did, and it's a film on the BBC, and it's kind of her telling her own story. Now, Joan Collins is a strange phenomena, isn't she? In that,
yes, she is a phenomena.
Oh, utter phenomena! It's a beautifully put together film where obviously they've used all this massive archive. But very cleverly. So she's telling her story and then they'll just use a kind of little clip and a reaction to illustrate out of context, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful narrative. It's a beautiful visual narrative. But I watched it and I realised how much, because I've met her and I've had to deal with her. And I kind of realised how much I've disliked her in the past, right? Mm-hmm. And it made me change my mind. And I thought, why did I dislike her so much? That was... you know, a strange thing to do, given that she's her own woman. She's a powerful woman. And I think because...
She was a pain in the arse.
Well, she's... Yeah, possibly. But also, she's so much the ultimate man's man, isn't she? Man's woman.
Man's woman, I mean.
And that sort of minxy kind of, you know... Yes, I always disliked her because in a way that you've always... I always find that sort of women, you know, in a party or any context, kind of uncomfortable and like there's
Well,
no
looking
contest.
Over your shoulder because they don't really want to be talking to you.
Oh,
I think I met her on Loose Women where she came on and was Joan Collins. You know, and she played Joan Collins perfectly, and it was, you know, interesting. Yeah. But, yes. You know, it'd be interesting to get stuck in a lift with her and see how long it would take for her to sort of, you know, take the wig off and sort of sit down and go, oh, Jesus, you know.
Well, I don't think she ever would. I think I actually don't think she ever would. But I warmed to her, and I warmed to her for several reasons. And I did... I remember, you know, because I produced Aspel & Co. And in fact, they used a few clips from her being on Aspel & Co. the night that I produced it. And I remember she decided she wanted to change the order that she was on very late on. So you get this, the warm-up guy has finished and everyone's sitting behind the set and you're about to play the music and you're about to go. And I get a message to say, hold on, Joan Collins has decided she doesn't want to go on. Second, she wants to go on first because she's realised that she's following Kenny Everett, I think she was, And she didn't want to do that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's
and
clever of her. That's actually sort of, but she should have done it earlier in the day.
She probably should have done it earlier in the day. And it was, I remember it was, you know, I did sort of earn my money that day. I sort of clip-clop down the kind of, always had to go down the staircase from the gallery onto the studio floor. And of course, that was the audience is watching you and I had to go over.
You loved that though, Judith. Yeah. But there was a bit of you going, look at me, clip-clopping in my 80s court shoes and my shoulder pads.
Heels.
And my heels and my tights.
Yeah, exactly. I used to wear some very nice sheer polka dot tights, I remember.
I remember those.
A real good dress that I bought from Harrods. Anyway, yes, I did earn my money. But she was right. She was right.
She was right.
You know, but yeah, I could have done my knowing a bit earlier. But of course, she's Joan Collins, so you do what you're told. And Joan Collins says that's what you do. So I would recommend it.
Well, my recommendations, I would like to add to that Judy, the film with Renée Zellweger. It's either on Prime or Netflix, and it's great. It's
recent film?
Yes, it's recent, last couple of years, and it's the life story of Judy Garland. It's very satisfying, and Zellweger is great. She really, really is. I mean, she is incredibly convincing, and it's terribly sad, and it's sort of, you know, it's about the chaos of a woman with talent and no sort of self-confidence, really. And not the right people batting for her. It's great. And on iPlayer, there's a fabulous black and white Agatha Christie called Witness for the Prosecution, which is based on an Agatha Christie play that was filmed, which has got Marlene Dietrich in, and it's great.
Wow.
And The Tourist has started very strong on BBC. Yes. I don't know how likeable I find it, but I'm finding it very watchable.
It's compelling, isn't it? And I love the character, the detective. And she's engaged to that hideous bloke.
Oh, he is awful. He's brilliantly awful. How toxic is he? How passive aggressive? It's such a brilliant capturing of those kind of men. And we all know them. And I don't think the men know that they are those men, but women know them. They are horrific.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, he's, you know, because he seems to be caring and needy, but actually he's desperately controlling and vile. That relationship is really interesting. I don't know whether you've got to the episode where they have a terrible argument and he chases after it, but he finds the time to put this fucking steering wheel car lock on in the middle of this thing. Just think, you hideous man. But it is compelling and unusual, actually, isn't it?
Yes.
I think I would recommend it too.
So that, and I saw the West Side Story remake in Peckham. I'm glad I only paid a fiver for it. Peckhamplex is a fiver a ticket if you ever find yourself in Southeast London on a rainy afternoon. It's the cheapest cinema in London.
It's cheap, isn't it?
Fiver. Every ticket a fiver. $4.99, fiver.
I do.
Peckhamplex fiver. It's too long and the lead bloke is outshone by everyone else. There's some wonderful performances, particularly by the woman playing Anita. There are some wonderful dance sequences and all that kind of thing. But at the end, you are left with this. Sort of, why did he do it? Why did he spend all that money on this remake? But there we go. Should we leap to books now, Judith?
Yes. I've finished the book called Homegoing, which is this big... important, really, book about the slave trade and its repercussions through the generations up to the present day by Yar Jessie. Good book, well written, quite hard going, quite punishing, I think, if you're a white, sort of middle class entitled woman, like I suppose people would describe me.
And me, let's face it, we all are. We are
horribly clever, privileged. Really clever in the way that she puts into context. Well, I suppose what she's saying is that it's kind of within living memory in the sense that it's not so many generations back that, you know, we started the slave trade and worse, really, with people kind of working down the mines, and follows to the thread. Yeah.
Okay. And what are you on now?
I've just started a book, which I think you've read, called Sorrow and Bliss by Meg Mason on Audible, which... shaping up right away. Is it good? Did you enjoy
it? I liked it. I liked it a lot. I think I fell short of loving it, but I thought it was really unusual and I thought that it was beautifully written and I really liked the writing about the sisters, this very strong relationship between two sisters, which is incredibly loving and forgiving and sort of so detailed and really truthful. And I believed... I believed a lot of it in a way that I don't believe quite a lot of things in many books.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, I really, I think it's one of one of the, you know, it's a really good book to have read. It's on all the lists. I really love The Great Circle by Maggie Shipstead. It's a really wonderful audiobook. It's about 25 hours. So it's ideal if you've got a, if you've got an operation coming up and you just need something to take your mind off things. And, you know, you're going to be in bed for a couple of weeks recovering, or maybe, you know, you've got any kind of illness and you need some comfort. You need a big comforting storybook. I think it really ticks that box.
And is that the one that had the saucy bits that you would...
It does have some saucy bits, but very few saucy bits. I mean, it was just the weird timing of this nurse who came in every time. And there were so few saucy bits, but she sort of came in every time there was some sex going on. And I also really enjoyed Mark Steele, the comedian's jaw-dropping memoir of his extraordinary adoption. It's a wonderful story. And he's written a show about it. I saw the show a number of years ago, and the book is now out. And he was adopted very casually back in the 1960s, and it's about finding out about his real parents.
Oh wow!
And Mark Steele is a very, very left-wing comedian. I've known him sort of all my performing life as a stand-up. I mean, he's one of the first people I gigged with. I've done Edinburgh's with him, and I'm really, really fond of him. And it transpires that his blood father was this Egyptian Jewish backgammon champion who hung out with Lord Lucan.
Wow.
It's almost unbelievable, but it's totally and utterly true to the bone.
Gosh,
and it's about society and, you know, how his mother was bullied into eventually signing adoption papers, which when Mark found them in the end had been ripped up and then sellotaped back together.
Oh,
so she obviously
God.
Hadn't wanted to do it. But, you know, coercion. I mean, this is the thing that they're finding out now, that, you know, well into the 60s, single women were treated appallingly.
Yeah.
So that is a really good book. And it
What's
really
it
helps.
Called? What's it called?
Who do you think I am? Or who do I think I am?
Very good.
Mark Steele. And he'll be a very familiar voice from Radio 4 for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we on to the emails now. And... there's an email from Jill, aged 57 and nearly 9 months. It's probably 9.5 months now. And she asks, where the fucking hell is this notice board you two keep banging on about? And why can't I find it? What do we mean by the word notice board, Judith?
We need the Instagram page.
This is your fault.
I think one day
you forgot what Instagram was and you called it our notice board. And ever since then, we have coined this phrase where you can see, I put a picture up on the notice board. Because we always see ourselves as sort of doing this in a kind of church hall somewhere. And we've
or in a school corridor.
Yes,
what comes to mind is the netball notice
board.
Yeah,
just above a radiator. And everyone crowds around and sees what's on the board. Yeah. And we've pinned some signs up and we've pinned photos up and all that kind of thing. So if you want to see our notice board, it is our Older and Wider Instagram account.
Yeah, which is Older and Wider Podcast, I think. It is just that. I think that's what you put into Instagram. And Jill found it. And do you see the email afterwards that she sent us? And she sent one. She sent the email back because I think I replied to her. And she said, oh, God, that's what you mean. I think she did actually think there was a notice board somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. and my favourite email was from Bex, 40 and 6 months. She didn't give her surname. There are probably reasons why. After listening to your last podcast with Jenny's bathroom problems, I must tell you about my delightful experience of fecal impaction. I went on a month-long trip to Australia to stay with a friend who'd emigrated a few years before. After 3 weeks, I had yet to poo and was feeling quite ill. I went to hospital... And they did an x-ray, and basically she was brimming. She was brimming and she had to be given copious amounts of soluble laxatives, mixed in a jug, and then colonic irrigation to release it all. Most people have a photo with a koala, but I had a trip to A&E, a posh photo of my intestines, and was drinking soluble laxatives by the pint. Thought this might make you chuckle, stroke, vomit. Bex, thank you very much for that. It is more of a problem than people would ever believe.
It is, I know. We could do a whole programme on it.
I don't know how many listeners we'd get and how many we'd lose, but listen...
More than you think.
Wish everybody a very happy new year. We wish you a functioning bowel, a sort of healthy-shouldered, healthy,
Fingered.
healthy fingers a bit dodgy, crossed.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Healthy fingering. Make sure your nails are neatly clipped. And, you know, I hope to be out and about on the road very soon, but I am under doctor's orders, so I will have to wait for the word go.
You must, Judith, and you don't go mad. For God's sake, don't go mad. Take it steady.
There will
take
be slightly steady. More sitting down than standing up in the stage show. For a little while, I think, but there we go.
It's really good to hear you bouncing back and your old self. And yes, happy New
Year
to the gang.
Don't forget your silicons underneath your bra straps, Judith. And I will speak to you both next week. Love to Daisy, love to everybody, and it's nice to be back.
It is. Toodle pip.